words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The gospel passage we just heard read is part of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's telling of the story. It comes at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry and his life and his work. He has just called some disciples to follow him, and people are gathering, and he goes onto this mountain and sits down to teach. Position of a rabbi. And of course, he begins with the Beatitudes. The first of which is, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. He goes on and gets into the sayings of, you have heard it said this, but I say this. This is how you've heard you're supposed to behave, but I'm going to tell you something else. Right after that, we come to this passage, where it actually begins, therefore. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Strive first and foremost for the kingdom of God. And doing so will place everything in its proper context. The folks that Jesus was speaking to had a pretty hard life. They knew an awful lot about anxiety and worry about where their daily bread was going to come from, because they didn't live in Rome, where people were essentially paid off to keep the peace. They were very anxious. They did not know what was going to happen to them the very next day. When they looked at the world, they did not see God's abundance. They saw scarcity. They saw fear. And I think we too need to ask, what do we see when we look at the world? Also, immediately before this passage is this little piece where Jesus says that the eye is the lamp of life. The ancients didn't think that light came into your eye. They thought that your eye was like a lamp, and whatever was in you was what shaped what you saw about the world. I think they had it more right than we do. What we believe and what we strive towards shapes how we see everything and everyone around us. And so Jesus comes to this place in his sermon, and he says, you of little faith, you trust so little in God's graciousness, in God's care for you and for me. You trust so little that you're worried about everything, and you're not actually living right where you are. You're not actually experiencing God's grace and God's love. You're not actually able to live faithfully because you're so focused on tomorrow. On yesterday. So he tells us this story about birds and flowers and how they simply are. The birds have to gather food just like we do, but God didn't make them with the capacity to worry. Obviously, the flowers of the field have no sense of where is the water going to come from. They all die. The birds and the flowers and the grass of the field, just like we do. But they simply are what they are, just as God made them. Something Jesus is trying to do is bring us back to being what God made us to be. Beings filled with love and care and compassion for one another and appreciation for the astounding abundance and glory that the world truly is filled with. It seems only to go wrong when we want to do something for ourselves most first. For ourselves first. So this is a bit of a faith journey, and it's well worth asking ourselves, we of little faith, who do we trust and what can we do? How can we practice and grow in our faith? What can we do to become more trusting of God? We can practice giving. Practice giving a measure of time. This much? This much. But practice giving a measure of time to be with God every day. Give that. Practice doing that. Practice giving yourself away in service to someone who needs something quite desperately. Don't go through a middleman. Find a place in this world where you can serve and meet the person in need face to face. There is hardly any encounter in the world that feels quite like the one of reality and connection when you help another person. Somehow we are made for that. Try growing in faith by giving of yourself in service. Practice giving generously in charity, not holding on to every last cent, but having a demeanor and a position that says, I can give something where it's needed and when it's needed. And I live in such a way that I'm able to do that. That's another practice. Each one of these, prayer and service and charity, it reforms us. It changes the shape of our soul. It changes the size of our heart. It molds us to the life of Christ, to be made in the image of God more and more and more. To worry seems to do the opposite. To focus on what we don't have seems to do the opposite of growing our faith. On this night, we're all gathered to give something else in worship. We've gathered to give thanks to God, to give gratitude for all the things that we know to be dear and holy and life-giving. For the people next to us, for the people in our community, of our church, people far away, the material things that we enjoy and that we share with one another. For all the things, the arts, all the things that make us unique, beautiful children of God. That is what we are gathered to do this evening. The very definition of Eucharist, it is thanksgiving. You are blessed. You are beloved children of God, each and every one of you. Know that. And when you come to this altar, gather around God's table to participate in His meal of thanksgiving and life, bring everything in your heart that you have and offer it to God in thanks. Know that God receives it and blesses you in return. Amen. Let's stand.